Greetings. Good afternoon. We are very blessed to have you all here with us this afternoon. I am the father of the bride and the prospective father-in-law of this handsome young gentleman. We are extremely privileged and thankful for the wonderful testimony of these two young people. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, but just briefly, I would just like to share with you some very stringent guidelines were placed upon these two young people. Observing the spirit of the age in which we live and the tendencies and the temptations of youth, we felt that before the Lord, that we needed to set some guidelines for this young couple. And just before I share with you from the scriptures this evening, this afternoon, I would just like to say thank you, Brother Buddy, for being an honourable, consistent, faithful, and a young man of integrity, brother. The guidelines we had on these young people would be considered by many to be outdated, archaic, even unreasonable. I share this with you. We said to Brother Buddy at the beginning of this relationship 20 months ago, we said, Brother, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Praise God. It's worth waiting for, brother. Amen. These young people, like all young people, struggled. They were tested. They were tried. Sometimes the boundaries were very difficult to maintain. They were to be chaperoned. Buddy's nearly 30 years of age. Chaperones, very archaic, outdated. If Adassa's got $20 for every hour she's spending in the car with Buddy and Tabitha, she'd almost be able to buy my Land Cruiser. Almost. They had chaperones. I think Buddy and I had three or four fairly serious conversations on the telephone in regards to the difficulties of some of these guidelines. Not that he was complaining, but that he confessed that he was struggling to maintain the guidelines. Young people, God gives us guidelines. And that's why I say thank you, Brother Buddy. You honored those guidelines, and God has blessed you. And now God, today, we can present this young lady to you as a chaste virgin in Christ. Amen. For the glory of God. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Tabitha. Thank you, Adassa. And many others for being a blessing. We thank you all for being here today. We count it a great blessing. Look at this beautiful place. We are so thankful. Thank you for praying. We looked at the long-range weather forecast 2 weeks ago. It was supposed to rain today. Seriously. But the Lord had other plans. These young people have prayed. The church has prayed. God's people have banded together. And I'll leave it at that because I'd like to read you a few scriptures. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful. I am blessed and privileged, Lord, to be the father of the bride with my dear wife here this afternoon to witness this amalgamation of two souls biblically into one. Thank you, Father, for what you have done thus far in these young people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for these 20 months that this young couple has struggled in the faith faithfully to keep themselves pure before a holy God, to prepare themselves for life in marriage and ministry. Thank you for the very evident call of God upon their lives. We dedicate them to you and commit them to you, and just pray as we look at these few thoughts this evening, this afternoon, that, Lord, you'd bless the word of God to our hearts and cause those of us who disregard the promises and the vows of Scripture and tread underfoot the truths of your word carelessly, frivolously, Lord, to be challenged and concerned this afternoon concerning our own lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In planning for this wedding, and particularly this ceremony, I think we were all very much in agreement that some statement needed to be made concerning the serious and eternally binding nature of marriage vows. We live in a day and an age where promises and vows are taken very much for granted. For most people getting married, the marriage vows are but a token. Just a few words said in haste without any serious consideration of the binding nature and the implications of those words that come from their mouth and are recorded by God. These vows, Buddy and Tabitha, today, God shall take notice. We'll take notice. And we hear these things and we're a witness before the Lord of these things. So I just felt it was important to take the time just briefly to share these thoughts with you, not only for the benefit of the newlyweds, but also for those of us who are tempted, for whatever reason, to break or maybe just even to bend or stretch promises that have been made maybe in times past at a marriage altar. How are you going with your marriage vows to date? We live in a world where vows and promises are taken very frivolously. Just this point. According to the Word of God, vows are not to be entered into carelessly or frivolously. This is what the Scripture says. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. God expects you to pay up. You said the vow. Did you mean it, brother? Think about it. Serious vows. God hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. God will hold you accountable. Folks, we've said marriage vows. Those vows are binding before God. So saith the Word of God. This is what it says. These are serious verses. It says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Hey, I didn't really mean it. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have marriage counseling. They didn't explain that. It was in the fine print. Those vows are binding before God. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Regardless of how lightly or even ignorantly we enter into the marriage bond, God most certainly will hold us accountable to these vows. It is the binding nature of these vows that explains the collateral damage surrounding unfaithfulness, immorality, adultery, and divorce that we see in the society today. Look at the damage. Destruction and misery on every side. Why? Because we are not faithful to the marriage covenant. Marriage is a covenant. It's a blood covenant for a virgin. There's blood shed on the wedding night. These things are in the Scriptures. Pastor Charlie mentioned the verse, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, the Bible says, God will judge. Unfaithfulness is under the judgment of God. Secondly, biblically, a vow is a bond of the soul. That's serious. If a man vow a vow, Numbers 30 verse 2, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, that is serious. He shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. The word bond in this verse means literally to bind with cords. Figuratively, the word means to commit oneself to battle, even unto death. That's a good definition of marriage, a battle unto the death. May the strongest man win. May it be the Spirit of God to win over the flesh, brother buddy. You'll face the flesh in your marriage, Tabitha, quite often. Marriage doesn't create problems. Marriage reveals the problems that are already there in our old nature, young people. You get to know yourself very well when you get married. You get to know your marriage partner, but you'll get to know yourself as well. Adam said in Genesis 2, verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That's a bond. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Bone and flesh. If you break your vows, brother, you break your own bones. If you break your vows or you're unfaithful to your vows, you disregard your vows, you rend your own flesh. A divorce is like having your bone torn out of your flesh while you're still alive. God graciously put Adam to sleep to create the first marriage, but he lets us feel the pain when we break the promises of God. And the pain we feel is to bring us to a realization. Jesus said in Mark 10 verse 9, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And that brings me to the very last point, very short, very brief. Marriage vows made before God, my friends, today And we unashamedly declare this truth from the Word of God. Marriage vows made before God are binding until death. Till death do us part. Why do we put that in the vows? Because God meant it. That's what the Scriptures teach. Our marriage vows are to keep us faithful unto death. Romans 7 verse 2 and 3, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of the husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. No wonder the Bible says it is a narrow way. Brother Charlie has the opportunity this afternoon to briefly share the gospel with you and to preach the gospel. I'm going to leave it at that this afternoon. Brother Buddy, I give you this charge before God. Brother, be faithful to God. Be faithful to your wife. She'll love you. She'll serve you. She'll honor you and obey you and submit herself to you with a joyful heart. But if you're unfaithful and you give into the flesh, your wife will be severely tempted and troubled in her life. Brother, love the Lord, love your wife as you love your own soul. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.